Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everyone.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched another Earth. Perfect impression.
Earth 2.
Earth 2.
Earth 2.
The quickening.
This is Dr. Joan Talis, the United States planet Earth. Do you read me? Is anyone out there? We're getting feedback. Let's try another channel. Hello? Hello? This is Dr. Joe.
Earth the second.
Earth the second. Tom?
Earth's second.
Earth's second. Yes.
Yes.
Earth part two. This is
Earth
a... Earth Deuce. This is a Patreon mandated episode.
This is
brought to you by our Patreon subscriber Martin.
Thanks,
still,
Martin.
Yeah, still not sure if it's Martin Lawrence. We've been through this.
It's our job to assume that it's
at Martin
the
Lawrence.
Very least Martin Landau's immortal spirit.
Okay, let's go with that. I mean, I do want to thank him.
Perhaps it's Martin Lawrence possessed by the eternal spirit of Martin Landau.
That would explain Bad Boys 3, I think, because it just all come together at that point. I hope that's a subplot in Bad Boys 3.
Yeah, just a real Freaky Friday thing. And then, meanwhile, the spirit, like, so like Martin Landau's in Martin Lawrence's body, and Martin Lawrence is in Martin Landau's body. So one of them's having a real Freaky Friday.
Right, and I don't want to extend this anymore, but I do like the idea of the next Bad Boys being a body-switching film.
Yes.
They could merge it with Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of possibilities there. And
there's so many directions you can go in, and all of them are Bad Boys 4.
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what this is all coming to.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the convergence.
Exactly. That's going to be the peak of humanity right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom, what did you think of Another Earth?
It was fine.
Okay.
It's an indie film. It's low budget, so it had trouble holding my attention for certain stretches.
Okay. Well, it's only 90 minutes, and I would argue that is the perfect length for this movie. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want it to be longer.
This movie feels like a short.
Yeah, it feels like it could have been a short. I really like this movie. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a slow movie. I have a soft spot for like high concept indie sci-fi. I know I've mentioned Coherence on this podcast. We've talked about Primer. These are all movies that are like, we're going to take these very big ideas and we're going to do them in a... This movie, Another Earth, I looked it up, has a budget of $100,000. They stole a lot of shots.
You can tell.
Yeah, they were friends. Like, when she comes out of the prison, that's a stolen shot. They had a friend who was a cop, so they used him to, like, shut down streets unofficially. Yeah. Stuff like that. For people who probably... I don't think people have...
I would be surprised if a single fucking one of you has heard of this film.
Yeah, I saw this movie when it came out, or at least when it came out straight to video or whatever. It's
Humble
a 2000.
Brag.
Well, I was really interested in this movie when I saw the trailers for it. It's a indie film. It's 2011 about essentially the trailer, what the trailer promises, which isn't quite the same. And I think this has to do with why why this movie. Yeah, it probably didn't get that much word of mouth hype or anything. But we suddenly see in the sky another Earth. It's as close, it's as clear as like the moon. It's pretty fucking close. And the idea is that we start communicating with we can't quite communicate with it at first. And then a lady from SETI which I really like this scene where she radios.
Yeah.
And it's all done. It's all done from the point of view of just people watching it happen on TV.
Yes.
And she radios. She makes contact with the other Earth, and she makes contact with an alternate version of herself. So we conclude, like, our best guess is that this alternate Earth has everyone on it.
Yeah, it's a mirror Earth.
It's a mirror Earth. And this, we follow the main character, which is a young woman who, as a teenager, gets drunk and kills a man, kills a man's family in her car. She yes. drinks and drives. She hits another car and kills the young boy and wife of this man. And now she's just getting out of prison, and she is applying to go to the, it's an Elon Musk before Elon Musk. It's like what's his name? The other guy.
It's
Virgin.
Richard Branson.
Richard Branson. It's a rich guy is offering a flight to this other Earth, and he has like a win a trip, write an essay, win a trip. And so she wins the trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's in the trailer. The other plot and the main plot of it, which I would argue could have been its own movie, is that she accidentally at first realizes she crosses paths with the man whose family she killed, and she goes to his house to kind of apologize, and
she goes there to like confess and apologize,
and things get pretty wacky.
She chickens out and then just says she's from a maid service, and then just starts cleaning his house,
which I kind of
try to improve his life, because when she sees him, his house is in complete disrepair. It's just loaded with liquor bottles and dirty dishes, and he's wearing a beanie,
right?
And
he's
a stained shirt and just drinking all day.
Yeah, he's exactly the kind of person, like the kind of what you would imagine. You know,
he is a wreck.
Yes. The main actress, by the way, what's her name? Britt Marling. You haven't watched The OA, have you?
No, but I know she's in it.
Yeah, she's in The OA. And I think the other guy, he's a real actor, too.
That's William Mapother.
Mapother?
That's Tom Cruise's cousin.
Oh, that's creepy. He did this movie for $100 a day because he just liked the script. A lot of pay cuts.
Ethan on Lost.
Yeah, he was on Lost, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He does a good job. He's kind of like, I like that they make him kind of almost like childlike. Like he's given up so much that he just doesn't really care, and he's kind of like he's just kind of happy to have this woman there. And it's about basically what happens is they form a romantic relationship, and the whole time she's just trying to work up the nerve to tell him.
Yeah.
And I guess spoilers. If you plan to see this movie, I think a certain type of person would really enjoy this movie. I'm not sure if the person listening is, but spoilers, she eventually tells him. He reacts accordingly.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very upset. And so she doesn't try to fix things, but she basically leaves her ticket to the other Earth with him, with the idea of like, well, maybe they're there. Maybe your family's there, which is some pretty laying on that false hope thick.
Yeah. Well, it's based on she's been listening to people, one guy in particular, the whole film. She listens to this dude theorize about what the other Earth means, how it could exist, what could it possibly be. And then he theorizes that the second we became aware of the other Earth is when the divergence happened.
Which is a good theory. Yeah.
Yeah, and I forget how he leads us into it. It's something like it's like when you're talking to yourself, like either out loud or just inside your mind. As soon as you realize you're doing it, it's like this break.
Yeah, the moment we measure something is when we change it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, we and it makes sense because we should have mentioned the reason. I mean, she's drunk when she's driving. It's 100% her fault. But the reason she crashes is because she's looking at the Earth.
Yes, that's correct.
It's showing up in the sky. So the presence of the Earth immediately killed this guy's, like, you could say led to the death of this guy's family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea is maybe the other her didn't look out the window at that time. And it's entirely possible. And the movie ends with him going into space.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really know what happens to him, and she's coming home, and she's in her driveway, and she stops and turns around, and sure enough, there's herself standing in her driveway, and then the movie ends, and I really like that ending.
Sure does.
Yeah. 'Cause the movie is mostly, it's got, there's a different versions of this movie, and Tom, you still haven't seen Coherence, have you?
No.
I would argue Coherence, they're two very different movies, but they run on the same theme, which is confronting yourself.
Yeah.
And I would think you would probably like Coherence more because it's a little, it's less dull than this.
Yeah.
There's less dreamy shots of people walking around.
Yeah.
It's a little more, there's a little more excitement. The characters are a bit more dynamic.
Well, as I see, I could totally see this movie being in like a book of short stories, you know, like some Ray Bradbury shit or something like that. Like I feel like this would have been better written.
Yeah.
Or as a short.
I would argue either that or the actors are, excuse me, I burped. The characters are extremely realistic in that they're kind of depressing.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't want to make this suggestion. Again, I really enjoyed this movie. But, like, I could see it holding a larger audience's attention if it was, like, I don't know, funnier or, like, had something, you know, like, I know for, again, it's hard because I wouldn't want to make it. Because I think of, there's two films that came out around the same time. There was 444, The End of the World, I think it was called, starring Willem Dafoe. Uh-huh. And then there was Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. Is that what that was called?
Yes.
The one with Steve Carell.
Yeah, and Keira Knightley, I think.
Yeah, I watched both of those movies, and I also was like, man, I wish there was something in the middle. Because they're both movies about the world is going to end. And the movies, they're like, the world is ending. That's not in debate here. And these are people dealing with it. 444 is a ultra indie movie with Willem Dafoe, where he basically just makes a bunch of phone calls. and like, it's like clear they were doing like a very emotional artsy film, but didn't have a budget. So like every time you'd see a shot out the window, you could see that the world was just operating like normal. And it's like, man, not a lot of people look very panicked out there for the last day on Earth.
Nobody's really reacting that sky's about to explode.
Yeah. Whereas Seeking a Friend was like kind of the opposite, where they went so cutesy that it didn't. It's like a empty, hollow film. I would also lump these in with Melancholia, which came out around the same time, which I think is the superior of the three, of the trifecta of end of the world movies. My point being is that this movie is like a little close to that artsy side. I'd say it's more entertaining than 444. But there could have been a more of a lean, you know, I think of, what is it? Solaris. I haven't watched that in a while, but that's kind of a similar premise, right?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, okay. You never watched Solaris?
No, I didn't watch Solaris.
Not even the original?
No.
You say that like it's an offensive question, but Solaris...
No, I've never seen either version of it.
Oh, okay. I think Solaris is good. I need to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
The original is like the 70s, so it's like super, you know, 70s slow.
Well, yeah.
But I don't remember the George Clooney one being all that... more exciting. This movie apparently is roughly based off of another movie called Doppelganger, which is a 1969 film, also known as Journey to the Far Side of the Sun, which it has to do with an Earth parallel to ours that's behind the sun, which is, you could argue, is also that Cloverfield Paradox movie, right?
I don't have a... I don't remember a single fucking thing that happened in the Cloverfield Paradox.
That's fair. I can't fault you for that.
That was 100 years ago.
Part of me is like, oh, I should watch that again. And then a much louder part of me is like, yeah, you don't need to watch that movie again.
Do not watch that movie again. This movie, I feel... I liked... the story that it was doing, it's just, yeah, like I mentioned, it's dull because I can already see pretty much everywhere it's gonna go. Like, you know what's gonna happen. They just sort of stretch it out for a long time, seemingly for no reason, just to fill feature length.
Right. It's, I mean, it's the most logical conclusion of the story.
Right, for the interpersonal relationship. The science fiction thing, you're like, well, that can go kind of any direction.
Right. She's always going to tell him that's the only place it can go. And that,
yeah, it's the only
that's
place
why,
to go, yeah.
Again, that could be its whole other movie. That could be a thriller. You could also flip this movie.
A mopey drama. I mean, it could have just been like fucking Marvin's Room or some shit.
Well,
just
I was thinking, yeah, you could do a thing where he starts to slowly suspect, or like it gets really dark and he turns into a maniac. You could also do the flip of it as a more romance where we don't know that it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a reveal. And
yeah.
I wonder, the thing is, I considered that this time around where I was like, would that have been more interesting if we didn't know? But there is no way for the movie to do that and also be the point it's trying to make.
No.
Because the point is about kind of second chances and redemption and the idea that they, you know, they she does a terrible thing in her, like, as a teenager. Mm-hmm. But they definitely don't make her a villain. They're showing, because the idea is she goes to prison too. She hits these people. She doesn't get away with it. She serves her time and she comes out of prison and she's clearly like really remorseful of what she did. And it's about two people who both kind of need a second chance.
Right. Because her life is nothing now. Like, it, like when right. it starts, like she's like a really good student. She's got like a great, she's going to go to a great school and have like an awesome career. And then when she gets out of prison, she just becomes a custodian. Like, she doesn't want to speak to people. She doesn't want to do anything. It's
right.
Just,
they like, do a good job at like, because it's not like, it's a good way of doing it because you don't feel like there's villains here. You feel like she made a mistake. And yes, she was absolutely at fault.
Yeah.
But they make the mistake so like unnefarious where it's like it's at least relatable to being a dumb teenager and doing something real stupid.
Yeah, exactly. It's the worst case scenario of a thing that lots of people have done.
Yeah, exactly. And so they focus at first on like her kind of getting her life together, and like I love that super awkward sequence where she's in the grocery store and she runs into a friend from high school, and it's just like every awkward fucking conversation you could ever have.
Wasn't he like her boyfriend from high school?
It's implied. It's definitely implied. Like, I don't know if was it was he. Do we know for sure? I got that assumption.
I think they make that explicit at the party scene in the beginning. But
I could be
misremembering, because it's definitely the implication of that scene.
Yeah.
Where like he's about to go off to business school and he's like got this new woman.
Right.
And
meanwhile,
just,
her.
Yeah, and she's just trying to buy some gummy bears.
Yeah, and her brother. And she like they say goodbye to each other. And then remain in line with each other. And it's like,
So she just puts it down and leaves. It was like one of the most, for some reason, that scene was one of the most devastating scenes.
It was
for
because,
me.
Well, what it symbolized, because the idea is her brother is getting into a good school. Mm-hmm. And the idea is she's someone who life just stopped for 4 years.
Yep.
And so she's getting out and everybody, it's like the snap. Like, everybody
like
is suddenly. Yeah, everybody's suddenly 4 years ahead.
Yeah.
And she's just trying to, like, start something, and she has very little aspirations. And so they do a really good job at, like, why she would be like, man, I just want to fucking go to space. Because she's also really into space.
Yeah. That scene is part of what made that scene so effective for me is that it's just the movie has been so, like, been so brutal up until that point. From her point of view, like when she like goes to the work placement program and gets placed in a school just because she's, then the lady's like, well, you don't want to, you like, you're really smart, you don't want to do anything that uses your mind. She's like, no, I want a job that uses my hands.
Yes.
I don't have to talk to people. She does her job at the school. She goes to William Apather's house to try to apologize for him and ends up cleaning his house instead. And then she walks out into a field and lays down in the snow naked and tries to die.
And tries to die.
It doesn't work, and she just wakes up with like her hands all frostbitten and bandaged, and that's when she writes the essay. So like it's been like this grueling of us just seeing her kind of just totally defeated, like this, you know, walking around just aimlessly through this life that just stopped and she can't get started again. And then she goes to the grocery store and it's like the first time we see her smile in like a half hour is when she sees the gummy bears and she's just like, oh, I'll buy myself some gummy bears.
Right.
And then it so blows up in her face and she doesn't even get the gummy bears. She just puts them down and leaves.
She's having a terrible time. But
for some reason, something's like, she was so excited to buy them and then it's just like,
nope.
Guts her. So she's like, well, I just got to get out of here now.
Right.
Not even this one little bit of joy.
Yeah, I do. I know it's a bummer, but I do like that. Like, even in the end, she doesn't really find joy. She finds like a catharsis or the promise of one, because she does basically the best thing you could do, which she gives him that one thing. Like,
she gives him her second chance.
Yeah, exactly. Which she kind of, you know, she owes him. Or she feels like it, and she knows that, you know, she couldn't really fuck off to space and feel good about that, you know?
No, it would just be terrible.
So she does the one thing that she can do, which is give up her dream.
Now, the appearance of her doppelganger, though, doesn't even... It has... There's a lot of implications behind that.
There is.
Seems to indicate that she can't even enjoy that, because that's like the worst case scenario, if you think about it.
If she finds her doppelganger, that implies that her doppelganger has been through a similar experience.
Or not, because her doppelganger is dressed very nicely.
I was about to say, she looks very nice.
So that probably means that she didn't get in the accident, which probably means that William Mapother's family is still alive.
And there's another hem over there.
He's still alive. So it's like, it's sort of like the end of Moon. Like, what's he going to do? Like, he just gets to hang around and like spy on his kids. Like,
right. It's a real fucker. I mean, I'm sure he'd get to hang out. I'm like, okay. I don't have kids, so I'm just going to use what I can relate to. If another me showed up and was like, hey, can I pet your cat? Mine fell into a volcano. I would let me pet the cat. Like, I would share the cat with me. Like, there's got to be... I know it'd be weird at first. The cat would certainly be confused. Mm-hmm. But kids are just like cats. They'd, you know, they're dumb.
Yeah, real stupid.
Yeah, so you could just... You could do something where you...
I'm outraged she even went to prison for that. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, maybe have them pay you a couple bucks so you can get
a new kid.
Yeah,
that's a ticket.
But
it's a ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a ticket. That's a misdemeanor.
Yeah, I mean, he could go... They could prestige together. They could, like, switch off and do magic tricks.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of things that they... I mean,
they could probably pull a lot of heists on the other Earth.
He's better off, I think, going to see the alternate version than not. And it's weird because they leave it open because, you're right, she is all dressed nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I would argue that the space people could have been like, here's a nice outfit, you're going to go see yourself. I would also argue that the space people wouldn't be like, all right, we parked at the other Earth, get off, just go, here's money for a taxi, go off and do whatever. Like, it's weird for the sake of the movie, they do it this way, but like, you think that'd be big news once they landed and the doppelgangers came pouring out?
Like, they would just like, sneak in there.
Yeah, but maybe they beamed down, I don't know.
Technology we're dealing with.
Yeah, for the sake of the reveal. But the thing is that if she is there, that does mean that she wanted to go on, which implies that the same thing happened.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but it could go either way, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could be the same solution she arrived at, just from the opposite point of view. Like, she could be doing very, very well on the second Earth and be like, oh my God, what if on the other Earth I did drive myself home and I got into an accident or something, you know? Like,
right.
Maybe she narrowly avoided the crash in the other Earth and she's like, oh, what the... Maybe I crashed in the other place. And so she like wants to go see and check on herself and see what's going on.
Or maybe it's like mirror images. Like, they're opposites where like... They're fated to do similar things, but they're like, yeah, they're mirror, since it's a mirror Earth, she's, yeah, the exact opposite and very successful. And maybe, like, when the guy shows up, he'll find a version of himself that plays something that isn't the Saw.
The Saw.
That she,
or a
ladies
Casio electric piano.
DTF, or man playing
right,
the Saw.
Right, like that Saw, she was ready to go.
That was some real... He took a big swing there because he was just like, I want to show you something, and takes her to a concert hall and has her sit there and starts playing the Saw. And there's like a 50-50 chance he'd look up and she'd be gone.
Oh, yeah.
And she'd be like, okay, he's playing
like
the Saw.
Like he's sitting there with his eyes closed. He's getting all into it, and then he hears the door shut.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep, like, a little note says, don't call me again.
Going to bed alone again.
A note that says, I killed your wife and kids.
Yeah. Frowny face.
Frowny face. What'd you think of the other janitor? That was a subplot in this. The guy
yeah.
who pours bleach in his ears and eyes.
In his ears and his eyes, because he was tired of seeing himself everywhere.
Yeah. I'm not sure why he was in
this. I don't
know
what that means necessarily.
She writes on his hand and he like cries. Mm-hmm. And I saw the letters F-O-R. And I think she's writing forgive. Mm-hmm. Because I think the next thing's a G. So I think the idea is he's representing kind of the version of her she doesn't want to be. Is someone who's, like, he's clearly that janitor. There was something with him. He was an odd duck. But he seemed to have some sort of darkness, obviously.
Yeah.
And so maybe she sees him as, like, someone who couldn't forgive himself.
Yeah,
someone who couldn't stand to look at himself.
There
and
you
that's,
go. That's
yeah.
it. Yeah.
And that's kind of what this is about, which is...
Yeah, and that's kind of that's what pushes her to finally go tell him, isn't it?
Mm, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's about, you know, what they talk about it pretty explicitly. Like, what would it be like to be outside of yourself, to experience yourself?
Yeah, what would you ask yourself?
Yeah, which is kind of the main... And so I get why this is the story they felt they needed to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Someone with a lot of regrets. I just think there's alternate versions of this.
Yeah.
Where they can do the same thing, but in a more exciting way.
Yeah.
This is not a big spoiler for Coherence, because it's kind of the inciting thing, is that deals with alternate versions of yourself.
Yeah, you told me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And they do a great job with that, where the characters are starting to suspect their alternate selves. There's a guy who's like, has drinking problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, everything's probably okay. And he's like, but what if the other me is drunk right now? Like, shit like that, where he's just like, he's a fucking psycho. Like, if he's drinking right now. And so it's shit like that, where it's like, again, people confronting the worst versions of themselves. Like, what if in that universe this happened, or I figured this out? I would not handle it well.
Yeah.
So I love this premise.
I also love that her brother's kind of a dumbass.
He's a real dummy.
That's like more salt in the wound, where he's like, I'm going to great school. And it's just like, he's real stupid and he has no insight.
Yeah. he's a real jackass.
When she gets the phone call, like, he took the message for it and he's like, yeah, it's up, you know, the number's on your door. And he's like, you got to write to me when you get there. You know, when you get to the Earth, you got to write to me. And it's like, I'm going to be in space.
I did understand that, because he says, this time you have to write back.
Yes.
So the implication is that when she was in jail,
yeah,
she didn't want to see anybody.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah.
So yeah. I mean,
no,
dumb.
It's a dumbass thing. He's a dumbass. Like, in that scene, he's like, I give you a clue, who called? You want to get high?
Yeah.
And like, everything she says, she reacts as if she's just met him. Like, I don't know what to say to you, man. Like, it's that sort of, like, she seems to be, like, just hate, like, secretly hate him.
Well, she hasn't seen him since he was, like, 13 or 14, so.
That's true.
She kind of doesn't really know
him. You're right. They do a good job with that, yeah, I guess, because
and
she's awkward
never,
everywhere.
Yeah, like, yeah, nobody, well, nobody's talking about it.
Right. Yeah,
so
no one
like,
knows how to handle it.
Like, her life is just never going to restart.
Right. Right, which...
Partially because she doesn't want... Well, partially, almost entirely because she won't allow it to.
Right, the idea that she didn't reach out to anybody in prison. Mm-hmm. Like, she is being extremely hard on herself, but Like, she can't get over it, which, I mean, makes sense, because it's probably the only thing she's thought about. Yeah, it's the only thing she's thought about for the last 4 years. And it's weird, because that the concept of forgiveness, and, like, because, I mean, we live in a world where there is, you know, people who've done way worse things, the Brock Turners of the world, getting, like, second chances all the fucking time. I mean, the word worse is hard, because it's killing a woman and child. But you know what I mean? Where the intent, the way more evil things, I would say, is the better word for it. People with mean intentions.
Right. I mean, it was an accident. Like, DUI is still like, well, you made the decision to get in there and put other lives in danger, but she wasn't trying to hurt anyone.
Right. And I think picking the DUI was a good...
Yeah.
Way to do that,
because it's something that you can still give us a sympathetic character. We'll still be mad at them for it, and still totally understand why you wouldn't want to forgive yourself for that.
Right.
But it's not like it's not. You nailed it when you said it's more relatable. Like, it's not like a thing. It's like, well, you could never. It's not a thing that you could never forgive somebody for.
Yeah, there's probably a disturbing amount of people who've drinking and driven. As teenagers, and it's that idea that, like, again, it's just perfect, because it's not forgivable, because there are also tons of people who didn't do that, mind you, but it's common enough, and she's clearly not fighting it, and it's just such a clear fuck up. And the movie never is like, hey, poor her, you know. Like, she's not, like, they never try to make us feel bad for her.
No.
Necessarily. Because they also make us feel really bad for him, because she confronts the life she destroyed. So it's just very complex, the relationship. Which, yeah. I actually, again, you don't need an alternate Earth. You could play with that idea.
Yeah.
Just as a dramatic film.
And I can't decide whether or not the other Earth is supposed to be heaven.
Huh.
I mean, I guess in a way, because it's supposed to symbolize, you know, like we were saying, a second chance. But in a way, like the idea of it being like, well, I don't know. I guess it could maybe be heaven in some interpretation, but my brain's not willing to do that work right now.
I don't know. I don't know if the filmmakers intended that.
Yeah, it seems much more just like a second chance because of this. It's the unknown, but in a positive way.
Yeah. They cut out scenes from this movie.
Yeah.
Where they show that our gravity is fucked up because of the other Earth.
I don't think we needed to go that far into the science fiction.
I was going to say, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think by doing it from the point of view of just people who are seeing it on the news, they didn't need some scientist explaining what was happening.
No.
They had enough of people being like, someone says, like, oh, it's a cosmic, like, optical illusion. Like, there's not another planet there. It's something that's happening in space. People have various theories, and you kind of get, like, the edge of all that scientific Michael Crichton mumbo-jumbo of, like, what could this be? Which I love, but, like, it wasn't about that, and they knew it.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, well, let's push that to the side, and we really just need this device to work enough for the audience to accept it.
Yeah, and I think it does. I never questioned it. Because they don't spend too much time on it. Like, we don't need to understand that much. It's just, here's this thing. And now, like, we have as much understanding of it as anybody else does. So, like, occasionally you hear, like, the edges of it. Like, that crazy guy wearing the tinfoil hat. That's like, we're just a projection of their dreams.
Right, which I bet they stole that shot. And I bet it was hilarious.
Oh, they absolutely stole that shot. They stole every exterior shot.
Yeah, I think so.
They had to have. For $100,000? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like,
and again, for that amount, the thing that matters...
It looks good.
Yeah, the thing that matters is every time you see that Earth in the sky, it looks good. And it's not a complex effect. It's just compositing.
No. Yeah.
But that's all they really had to do, and then just have enough news footage to look credible. You know, some green screen shots here and there. Because they knew, like, and I really think this is the better way to do this story. If it was a big CGI mess showing, like, them traveling there and landing, and it was like The Martian and some shit where it's like there's a whole, like, that's what I was saying, like, an hour and a half for a premise like this. It's like, we don't need to go there. We don't need to see much of this other Earth. It's better as this like looming presence in the sky.
Yeah, and it, yeah, if we saw it, that would sort of undermine the whole point of the movie.
Yes.
Like, we can't the whole idea of it being the unknown potential of a second chance.
Right. And even if someone rewrote this movie to not make that the point and give us a reason to go to the Earth, it just, I think there's no version of, I think there's no version of a parallel Earth in our sky that's better than kind of what they did here, at least in the broad strokes of the premise. Execution, you could do, you know, that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But like, there's something so creepy about that other Earth. And that's why.
Yeah. I was going to say, you could turn it into a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
But that's maybe the only other way you could write it.
Yeah, as long as it's still mysterious.
Yeah.
And yeah, that part, I think it is creepy. That part where the woman calls the other Earth and the same woman's voice comes back and they're talking. It's just like, it's like kind of eerie because it's, before that point, it's just like, okay, there's another Earth up there. What is it? What could be happening? And then the realization of like, oh, God, it's also us. Mm-hmm. Opens up so many other possibilities suddenly, as if another planet just showing up isn't already weird.
Right.
I feel like, did the Earth, because they show it's small in the sky when she has the accident.
Yeah, it gets closer. They say okay. So.
So it's just, it's going to be a weird 4 years.
Yeah, that fucking thing just kind of getting closer, yeah. Like the Death Star.
Yeah, just inching along. And you're like, there's that planet again. It's coming towards us. It's leering at us from afar. It's just slowly inching on over. It's, is it going to stop?
At us.
What does it want? But it is, I mean, yeah, I think the implication is parallel dimensions or a wormhole or something. Mm-hmm. But again, they don't need to explain it. It doesn't matter.
No, I don't need to know why it's there. Yeah. It just is.
Yeah. But yeah, I get how this is. Yeah, this is a slow movie. You haven't seen Primer either, right?
No.
Primer is very boring.
Cool.
Not artsy boring, though, from what I remember. It's just so fucking technical. And again, it's such a huge concept done in like a couple small locations. And what makes these movies work as indie films, because this is a very low budget. For example, if you notice, they don't have any like... like, everything's shot either handheld or on sticks, or, like, there's no dolly shots.
No.
And that's a really hard thing to pull off and still look good. Like, you could tell that it's cheap, but it's still well done.
I think they also have the advantage of people having just sat through over a decade of stuff like Arrested Development and The Office and Parks and Rec, where... like we
yeah,
don't
they
even
shoot it that style.
Yeah, they shoot it that style.
They do
but
snap
we don't
zooms.
Even yeah.
Yeah.
And shaky handheld shots that are like that switch focus in the middle of the shot.
Right.
That's
actually what the secret is. Oh
yeah,
sorry.
We don't even read that as being like Arrested Development and The Office both do it on the pretense of it being like a documentary film crew, but I don't think they do that in Parks and Rec, right?
I don't know. I've never really watched that.
Like, you don't even...
The shaky cam, the Bourne movies do it. It's a style.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it is, it was one of the things
collateral.
I learned in...
Collateral.
One of the things I learned in film school is, like, that is, like, when the camera's stationary, that's, and the lighting is flat, that's a sign of, like, a low budget. But the biggest sign is really the camera lenses. And that's what they avoided here. They clearly shot on a nice camera. In order to have that, or at least with nice lenses, to have that tight focus. Otherwise, if everything was in focus, it would just look like a home movie.
Yeah.
So they knew, my point is that they knew what to do to make this movie not, like, be cheap, but not look like a home movie.
Yeah.
They knew, like, how to edit it and, like, how to mix the sound and, you know, how to move the camera enough or do interesting things or maintain a style that looks felt intentional for the budget they had. But, yeah, that shaky cam stuff, it was never that distracting in this, I don't think.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, they knew when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Primer is similar where it's like, oh, this was clearly shot. Primer was shot for, like, a couple $1,000s from what I remember. It is a very cheap movie. but it just explains a very, I don't know, it explains a very, a big idea. And I just, I really have a soft spot for movies that manage to do that, where they you're looking at the tip of the iceberg, but it feels so much bigger for that reason. We talked about this with Tremors, where they make the Tremors feel huge, even though they're just a couple hand puppets, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It's that. It's like the illusion of scale in a smaller scale movie that's done really well. And I think this movie kind of nails that.
Yeah, it never feels cheap. Like you can tell it's an indie film, but it never feels like
they sacrificed anything.
No, it was made with skill.
Yeah, this director hasn't done much else. He did something called I Origins, which I've never seen, and I now probably should. Mike Khalil. What else does he...
Cahill. I don't know why that confounded you.
Well, it looks like another name I know that sounds more like Khalil, which is why I got a little trapped in there.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, you got stuck in that one.
Oh, yeah. He really hasn't done much else. I, Origins was the last thing he did. He also wrote this movie. Yeah, I don't know. I would recommend this movie for people who have a little more tolerance for slower films. I was excited when I realized this was on our list because it's a movie that I never got to talk about because no one saw it. So someone forcing us to watch it again, I was like, oh, delightful. I can actually...
what luck.
Yeah, I can actually talk about this fucking movie.
Yeah, no, it's not... Like I said, it drags in a few parts. It kind of loses my interest, but as a whole, I thought it was a good film that was definitely well made, considering how low budget it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm gonna recommend again that you watch Coherence because I just want to talk about that movie with somebody because no one's watched that fucking movie either.
You guys, you can watch it too. It's available on, if you have Prime, it's free on Prime.
What, Coherence?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And Another Earth is available to rent.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think if you've already seen like Coherence, I would say even if like if I don't want to compare this to The Endless, but I get a similar feeling because it's low budget.
Oh man.
Big concept sci-fi. The Endless is
I couldn't take my eyes off The Endless.
I was about to say, The Endless is a better film. Well, yes. It's two very different films.
They're two incredibly different films.
Yeah, it's weird to compare.
Yeah.
But
The Endless is much more ambitious.
Yeah. This is definitely a very inspiring film, I think. I like seeing this film because it gives me a bunch of ideas and it makes me want to create stuff.
This is a good... Yeah, kind of definitely if you're trying to get... started as a filmmaker or something, this is a good movie to watch.
Oh, for sure. This is a great example of like a no budget indie film,
like what
doing
you, like
something
real simple tricks too, like the media swarm outside her house. It's just a low angle shot, so you can't see that there's not really that many people around,
right?
Her.
And stuff where she's,
but
it like,
completely works.
Yeah, it works because they're watching it on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, little things like that where again it's implied scale. It's
Yeah.
It's like it's weird. It's a trick that like Michael Bay will do where they have characters looking off camera at something grand while showing you something in the film as well, where it's like larger scale outside of the frame, but they're doing it to simulate things that other films could do easily. They do the same thing where they show she's looking him up, she's Googling him and showing him conduct because he's like a conductor or was one.
Yeah.
And they do that where they show like footage of an orchestra and then they like intercut with kind of a shot from like the audience looking up at him and it's clear that they just had to get him on a black background, but it all cuts together seamlessly. There's a lot of great stuff like that. Just making it look like doing news stuff where it looks like the real news and not like the news in the movie Birdemic.
Yeah.
Where they're like, okay, this is still gonna cost money to do, but it's not gonna cost that much money if we just do it right. And be selective about what we show. Like later when he's being interviewed and he's in a space suit And again, it's like, oh yeah, that's just him in a spacesuit, probably in front of a photograph of a green screen. Rocket. Or yeah, probably a green screen. It's a green
screen, yeah.
But it's just like, yeah, we just see enough for it to be like, yeah, that works.
And it's on a, they do the same thing with the conducting video where it's on a small screen and they grain it up.
Right.
Like particularly the conducting video, it's like it's really garbled because she's watching it on the internet. So you're like, there you go. There's a cheat for you.
Yeah, exactly.
She's just watching a shitty, low quality YouTube clip.
Yep. And it all makes sense within the universe.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's another Earth. At least that's my thoughts on it. Tom, do you have any more thoughts?
I don't have any other thoughts, no.
All right.
That's it.
Shit, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks to Martin. Again, Martin, can't wait for Bad Boys 3. Thanks for bringing us another Earth.
Totally excited for Bad Boys 4.
Yeah, can't wait to see your work on Bad Boys 4.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be great.
Anticipating it.
Yeah, Landau's Ghost. Bad Boys 4, Landau's Ghost. Revenge of Landau. Landau's Revenge. There it is. We got it. Guys, this was, as we've mentioned, associated with our Patreon. If you want to check that out, you go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have other tiers that include exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Great shows.
Really
that you
best.
Should check out. Yeah.
Yeah. And oh my god, we also got a store, don't we? Oh man, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. You can get t-shirts and mugs and stickers and all kinds of stuff. Check all that stuff out.
Yeah, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if
you
feel
like it.
You
guys have been killing it with that lately.
Yeah, and I mean, tell your doppelganger about us.
Yeah, tell the other Earth.
Yeah, tell the other Earth. Earth 2.
Mm-hmm. Earth above and beyond.
Boogaloo. Earth above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
Earth harder.
Earth, yes. Earth harder. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah. Earth harder.
Dibs.
We figured it out.
Yeah, we got there.